Amen. I want to get back to a couple of weeks ago. I started a little series, a mini series called A Clear Focus. I'm talking about some things that I think are really, really key in the life of the church. Jesus said, I'll build my church. I will build my church. Let me just say it again. Jesus said, I will build my church. You know what? Nothing's going to stop Jesus from building his church. Absolutely nothing. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. How's he built his church? By working through people he's transformed into his image, his likeness, and who have his attitude. I want to talk about something this morning that nobody can take from you. Nobody can change without your consent. Something that you absolutely can choose, and that's your attitude. And the Bible has some powerful things to say about attitude. I mentioned this to you a couple of weeks ago, just in the vision of the church that we believe God wanted to create here at New Song, is a church where people have found a real relationship with God. So important. Okay, you can call yourself a Christian all day long, right? That doesn't make you a Christian. Have you noticed that? You can be what I tend to call a religious, unsaved person. Anybody ever been around someone like that? They know the right words to say, but their life says something else. But when you have a real relationship with God, listen, you love. Nothing can stop you from wanting to live for God because it's no longer a duty. It's a delight and a joy. And out of the gladness and overflow of your heart, you serve the Lord. By the way, it's good to see Hope and Cody back here today. You guys still getting married soon, yeah? All right, fantastic. Excited for you guys. So this morning, I want to talk about attitude. I want to tell you a quick little joke, okay? So I have several key plants out here. I call them my courtesy laughers, okay? So whenever I take the risk and tell a joke, I'm not the best joke teller in the world. I do have certain people that just laugh, you know, just because they're here to support and be a blessing. So I'm just giving you a heads up. Here goes a little bit of Pastor Jeff humor, probably another joke that Craig will call corny humor. But that's okay. That's okay. This guy's attitude needed a little adjusting, right? Needed a little adjusting. Things had taken a toll on him. The challenges of life had gotten to him. So this guy walks into a shoe store, and he asks for a pair of shoes. And he says, give me a pair, that pair right there, and I want them in a size 8. And the shoe salesman, who'd been doing this for quite a while, looks down at him, looks at his feet, and kind of, you know, sizes him up and says, I can tell, sir, that you take normally about an 11 or an 11 and a half. You sure you want a size 8? He says, yeah, just bring me a size 8. Sales guy brings him up, and I mean, it took a while. The man just, I mean, he contorts his feet, he works, he stuffs them into these shoes. Finally, he stands up in obvious pain. Turns to the salesman and says, I want these. I'll take these. Salesman says, I don't think those fit you correctly, sir. And he said, listen, buddy, I've lost my house to the IRS. I currently live with my mother-in-law. My daughter ran off with my best friend. And my business has just filed Chapter 7. And the only pleasure I have left in life is to come home at night and take my shoes off. Cue the courtesy laughers. Cue. Sometimes the circumstances that we're living through, it's like they just bombard our attitude to the place that our attitude becomes soured, our attitude becomes negative, our attitude becomes anything other than what would reflect Christ to the world around us. It occurred to me this week, I was just thinking about how you and I have literally been in, I'm going to call it the Twilight Zone. Anybody remember the old Twilight Zone show? Came on with that, you know, interesting music, and there's Rod Sterling in that black suit, and you were about to enter the Twilight Zone. And I don't know about you, but I felt like I've been kind of in the Twilight Zone for, listen, a year. We're coming up on a year here pretty soon. In just a couple of weeks, it'll be a year. Doug Easterday, who was here last week, I love Doug. He and Donna took their first cruise last March, and he was talking to me about it, trying to find out a lot about cruising, and Tracy and I have only been on one, but we were sharing what we, you know, what we discovered, and last week we were having lunch after the service, and we were talking about the cruise, and he says, yeah, he says, you realize we barely got back into port just before the quarantine. He said, or else we might still be on that cruise ship. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, we've been through a year unlike anything that any of us have ever waded through, walked through, worked through. And in the midst of this past year, I'm telling you, there have been so many different challenges. And part of the reason I want to speak about attitude today is because I want us to freshly assess our own attitudes. I think it's real important that from time to time we just stop and go, okay, where's my attitude? And listen, your attitude not only really determines your outlook on life, your success in life, but I'll tell you, it has an awful lot to do with determining whether or not you are positively or negatively affecting other people. And I want to focus on that some this morning. I want us to think about this time we've been through, right? Lots of opportunities for division in the body of Christ. And I got to tell you, sadly enough, I think in a lot of ways we failed. This past year, instead of being the light that has shined brightly, a lot of us have gotten pulled down. Probably we weren't even fully aware. But, you know, it's kind of like the frog in the pot and the heat gets turned up. There's been so many controversies, and a lot of us have gotten sucked into them, to the place that we've forgotten that there's a higher law that Jesus calls us to. It's called the law of love. And we should be asking the question every day. Jesus gave us a commandment, and here it is. Love one another as I've loved you. And some of us have gotten so sucked into the controversies that quite honestly, we've lost sight of that law of love. A lot of opportunities for division in the body of Christ. Controversies over masks. Now, I'll be honest with you, and I know I'm going to be trampling on some very, you know, thin ice here this morning, so to speak, some controversial things, but I hate masks. I've never liked this thing since day one. I hate it. I hate wearing it. But, you know, a lot of controversy over these things. Do you wear it? Do you not wear it? Does it do any good? Does it not do any good? What about this thing? Well, if I'm thinking about being a kingdom citizen, right? A kingdom citizen, a kingdom of God citizen. You know, I've got to think with a different mindset than maybe everybody else in this world. Am I gonna love people even if it means sacrifice for me? Now I was in a Bible study this past week with my dear friend Dr. Gary Hoyle. He's here this morning. He's a brilliant man. He's a scientist. Has an advanced degree, I think, in microbiology. He knows a whole lot more about masks and microns and molecules and respiratory stuff than I do. He has a whole lot more. He can talk about that stuff a lot. I don't know much, but I read a lot, so sometimes I think that I maybe know more than I do. Because I've read this opinion, and then I read that opinion, and it was different than that opinion. And then I read this opinion, and it was different than that. And I'm like, wowee, how many of you know what I'm talking about? It's been a lot of confusion out there. And to some degree, I think the enemy set this up. And I think the churches fell into it. And I think in a lot of ways, we've not exactly passed the test. Because clearly, whatever we did and whatever decisions we made, they should have been made out of love. Gary said something to me that I thought was powerful and profound. He said, you know, wearing a mask is really not going to necessarily protect you from getting the virus. But the greatest thing that wearing a mask does is it protects others from getting it from you. Which in all honesty, that's love, right? That I would make a choice that might be self-sacrificial that would be in the best interest of somebody else. How many of you hear what I'm saying? And I know this is controversial, and I'm not trying to be offensive to anybody. I love everybody. You can, you know, that's one of the wonderful things, right, about the church is we can walk in unity, and unity doesn't mean uniformity. It doesn't mean we all have to believe the same thing the same way. There are certain things we need to believe the same way and be unified over. Those are the main things, and I think we are. But we need to be cautious about the things, secondary things that can divide us if we're not careful. But lots of opportunities for division in the body of Christ. Controversies over masks, now over vaccines, over distancing, over election results, over politics, over race issues, over equity issues. And you could probably add several to the list. How many of you hear what I'm saying? Just in this last year. And in all honesty, you know, my heart is looking back. We should have been the ones leading the way with embracing love for our fellow man. We should have been the ones taking the step, the sacrificial step of saying, you know what, I don't really like doing this, but I'm going to do it on your behalf because I love you. I'm going to put this on, and I hate it, and I don't like it, and you know, I've wore this one long enough now, it smells a little bit, and I mean, you know, sometimes I just want this thing off so bad. Sometimes I forget to put it on, kind of absent-minded. Sometimes I leave it sitting somewhere, and I shouldn't. I mean, give me grace, guys. But I mean, we should have embraced this because of our love for others. And some of you are going, yeah, Pastor Jeff, but what about government overreach? Yeah, I believe in that. In fact, I believe we're living in a day and a time of government overreach, right? But I also believe this. There's a higher kingdom and a higher calling. And if I get so caught up as an American that I forget how to live in the kingdom of God, which is my higher calling. So let me show you some scriptures here. The title of my message today is Have This Attitude. Philippians 2:5 says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. In another version, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Look at this. This is the Passion Translation, which I'm really enjoying these days. And consider the example that Jesus, the Anointed One, has set before us. Let his mindset become your motivation. What attitude should I have? Absolutely, an attitude of loving others, putting others above myself. Let's look at the whole passage. I'm going to ask you to do something that used to be very customary in the church, and we've lost sight of it. I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. I want to read Philippians 2, 1 through 5. Would you stand just out of honor to the Word of God? This is from the Passion Translation, so it's going to sound a little different, and Paul's going to kind of help us understand some of the things that will absolutely, if we're not careful, if we have the wrong attitude or wrong disposition, they will ebb away at our unity. And I'm making the case today that we've had an opportunity over this last year, we've had an unprecedented opportunity. If we had not got sucked into so many of these things and kept a kingdom mindset and attitude, we might have been able to reach and touch more people than ever before. But we got to be careful about getting sucked in. We got to be careful about all the controversies because we're living for a kingdom that is higher and greater. Here's what he says. Look at how much encouragement you found in your relationship with the Anointed One, with Jesus. I hope that's true about your relationship with the Lord. I'm praying that over you. You're filled to overflowing with his comforting love. I hope that's true of you. You've experienced a deepening friendship with the Holy Spirit, and you felt his tender affection and mercy. Isn't that good? So I'm asking you, my friends, do you be joined together in perfect unity? Everybody say, perfect unity. Sounds good, doesn't it? With one heart, one passion, and in united in one love. Walk together with one harmonious purpose. And that ought to be to please Jesus in all that we do. Amen? And you'll fill my heart with unbounded joy. Look at what he goes into now. He's going to talk about some of those attitudes, perspectives, positions, opinions. You ever heard the old saying, everybody has an opinion like everybody has a nose? Anybody ever heard that one? And you know what? I don't mind hearing your opinion. I don't mind it at all. Again, unity doesn't mean uniformity. But when our opinions become elevated to the place that they're taking precedence over unity, we need to sacrifice or at least keep to ourselves those opinions. How many of you know what I'm saying? Be free from pride-filled opinions. For they will only harm your cherished unity. Boy, that's pretty clear cut, isn't it? I mean, sometimes, and listen, I'm not trying to be harsh or judgmental or hurtful or controversial. I'm just saying this is God's word. Sometimes we get so caught up in our opinions, we're absolutely, we don't even realize it may be compromising the unity of Christ's body. I think the world has looked at us over this last year, and I've heard this, right? Those Christians, they're mean. Those Christians, they're judgmental and hypocritical. Oh my gosh, think about the opportunity we've had. If we'd really united and not got caught up in all the controversies and lived out the prayer of Jesus that we love each other and the world notices it, man, oh man, that would have been awesome, wouldn't it? All right, don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but in authentic humility, put others first. View others as more important than yourselves. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. And consider the example that Jesus, the Anointed One, has set before us. Let his mindset become your motivation. Let's pray. Father, speak to us through your word. May we be faithful to your word. May you continue to transform us, Lord. God, I fail. I mess up a lot. God, sometimes my opinion gets skewed. Sometimes my opinion becomes more important to me than other things that are absolutely more important. Forgive me for that. Speak to us, God. Guide us. Help us to be the people you've called us to be. And let love be not only the higher law, but the thing that guides us in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for God's word. Charles Finney said these words, "If the presence of God's in the church will draw the world in. If the presence of God's not in the church, the world will draw the church out." It's been kind of a sad thing because in a lot of ways, I think the church has kind of squandered an opportunity, a great, great opportunity. So attitude's really important, really important. My friend Chad, he's gone through such a difficult time and probably watching, I love you, Chad, suffered immensely through this season with lots of challenges physically and some things otherwise, and he's just had this great attitude. Do you know an airplane? My son was studying to be a pilot, and it was really cool. I got to go up with him one time. Do you know an airplane has what's called an attitude indicator? And an attitude indicator is not incredibly important until you get in bad weather. Until you get surrounded by the clouds or you're in the midst of a storm, kind of like we've been this last year. And sometimes, again, like I said, we just start getting bombarded and we don't even realize our attitude's becoming soured and negative and not helpful. And sometimes we just need to stop and have an adjustment. But the attitude indicator is kind of three different ways. The nose can be pointed up, or you can be flying level, or the nose can be pointed down. And let me just tell you, on an attitude indicator on an airplane, if it's pointed down, that means fairly soon you're going to have a crash. Because you're going to hit Earth pretty soon if you don't get that attitude readjusted. Romans 12:2 says this. It says, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed." That's the changing of our attitude, of our mind, by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Here's what John Maxwell, one of Doug's favorites, says. Very powerful. Attitude's the advanced man of our true selves. Its roots are inward, but its fruits are outward. It's our best friend and our worst enemy. It's more honest and more consistent than our words. It's the thing that draws people toward us or repels them. It's never content until it's expressed. Ooh, there's where we get in trouble, right? It's the librarian of our past. It's the speaker of our present and the prophet of our future. Let me give you some truths about our attitudes this morning. And I'm going to run through these fairly quickly. First of all, we choose our attitudes. Your attitude is your choice. I don't know how many of you have heard the story of Viktor Frankl. It's an incredible story. He has a best-selling book that sold millions of copies, Man's Search for Meaning. Viktor Frankl was taken captive during World War II by the Nazis. His mother was killed by the Nazis. His dad died in a concentration camp. His brother, his wife died in Auschwitz. He was in Auschwitz himself. He was tortured 20 times. 20 times. He said this, I'll be happy and I will not hate the Nazis. Nothing they can do will make me hate them. Think about that. He was an incredible inspiration to people. He really understood the fact that we can choose our attitude even in the most confusing and difficult times. He also said these words, everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. What if we just chose, because quite honestly, none of us know how long this challenging season we're living in. We have no idea how long it's going to go, when it's going to end. But what if we just chose to go ahead and make our attitude one of joy and peace and serenity in Christ, one of unity and hope and encouragement to others? Wouldn't that be pretty cool? I think it would. Attitudes are not caused by people or circumstances. Think about that. Scripture gives us some pretty good examples of that. Adam and Eve, you know, before the fall, the garden was perfect. It was beautiful. They were perfect. They had the ideal life, and yet somehow they fell prey to the enemy's deception that God was holding out on them, and because of that, they sinned. How about King David? King David is very interesting, right? One of my favorite characters in Scripture, but he's a complex personality, and there's lots to glean from his life, and we have a lot in Scripture about him. But one of the things you'll kind of notice about King David, maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but he had a great attitude in bad times. I mean, when Goliath is out there and threatening the people of God, man, I'm telling you what, David's got a great attitude. It's amazing, his trust in God, his faith in God. And then at other times, though, you see when things are going really good, David's got a bad attitude. You know, read the Psalms. You'll see a lot of insight into his life. You know, Goliath, he's rising up in faith when Saul's pursuing him. All these things, he has a great attitude. But once he's on the throne, and once he's established peace in the nation of Israel, once everything's going well, here comes Bathsheba. Here comes the census. Here comes the challenges and the problems with his son Absalom that he just absolutely refuses to deal with. And he ends up with an attitude that's skewed and that costs him greatly. You cannot say in life that good circumstances create a good attitude and bad circumstances create a bad attitude. It's the opposite in David's life. In Acts 16, Paul, he's beaten with rods, he's thrown into a prison. It's at midnight, what do we find him doing? Singing praise to God. It's tough circumstances, but it's his choice to have an attitude of praise to God. Here's the deception, and I want you to get this morning. If my circumstances were better, this is the deception we often believe. If my circumstances were better, my attitude would be better. So there's a lot of us kind of holding our breath going, man, I can't wait till this whole thing's over. And thinking that our attitude's going to change. And, you know, right now we're griping and we're complaining and we're negative. And, you know, we can't wait to tell everybody our opinions and our perspectives. But in all reality, we can go ahead and choose to have a Christ-like honoring attitude right now. Amen? Here's the truth. I can overcome any situation in this life with a Christ-like attitude. Because I'm not a victim of my circumstances. I get to choose where my faith, where my trust, where my hope is placed. Happiness is a chosen attitude, not a state of being. Again, it's a choice, not about having success or money or fame or any of those things. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but some people are always happy and some people are always grumpy. Ever notice them? They carry around their own little dark cloud just raining all the time over them. And sometimes, quite honestly, those are the people with the most stuff and the most blessing, and we look at them and go, why are they always so negative? I don't understand it. It's because they've chosen that attitude along the way. Do you know many comedians come from tragic and difficult circumstances? It's really interesting. And yet they choose, somewhere along the way, they choose to make others happy, to make others laugh. Now this one, you know, I'm going to really age myself here in some ways, and the young people here are going to go, who? But Carol Burnett was an amazing comedian who brought laughter and humor to a couple of generations. And it's interesting, you go back and look at her life. Both her parents were alcoholics. She had a really, really difficult childhood. She ended up being raised by her grandmother. She never had a bed. She had to sleep on the couch. She had to study in a dimly lighted bathroom. But she became someone, a very special lady, who chose to bring laughter to millions of people. Hugh Downs said it this way: a happy person is not a person with a certain set of circumstances. A happy person is a person with a certain set of attitudes. Or Dennis Whately said it like this, and this is a great quote, you should write it down. Happiness cannot be traveled to, owned, earned, worn, or consumed. Happiness is the spiritual experience of living every minute with love, grace, and gratitude. I tell you, the overwhelming feeling I've had coming on the other side of COVID has just been gratitude. Just been gratitude. Been overwhelmed with just gratitude to God. I had four friends about the same age as myself who all contracted COVID around the same time. All four of them ended up in the hospital, and only two of them came out. My heart was broken for those that certainly they knew the Lord and they're in a better place, but my heart was just, I heard someone went to visit the wife or the husband of one of the ladies that passed away, and her husband just stood just cried the other day. God rewards, by the way, good attitudes, and he disciplines bad attitudes because he's a loving, caring father. If you don't believe that or understand that, look at Hebrews chapter 12. It talks a lot about God's chastening and his love for his kids. Let me give you an example, though, of how he rewards a good attitude and disciplines a bad attitude. James chapter 4, he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud. Pride is an attitude. But he gives grace to the humble. Humility is an attitude. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of the Lord, and he'll lift you up. God cares about the attitude, the disposition, the demeanor that you and I have, because it has so much to do with our witness to the world around us. Are you guys hearing me today? By the word pride there in the Greek, it literally means to set yourself in battle formation against. You know, pride's that attitude that basically says, God, I got this. I know how to do this. Instead of being fully dependent upon him. He corrects us for our good, folks, because he's a good father and he wants us to have a good attitude. Well, Abraham Lincoln's a great example of this. Our 16th president, one of the most amazing men. He had a difficult childhood, less than 1 year of formal education, failed in business at the age of 21, defeated for legislative race at the age of 22, failed again in business at the age of 24, overcame the death of his sweetheart at the age of 26, had a nervous breakdown at the age of 27, lost a congressional race at the age of 34, lost another congressional race at the age of 36, lost a senatorial race at the age of 45. And listen, this one's the most heartbreaking probably of all. Only one of his four sons lived past the age of 18. Can you imagine the heartbreak of that? Failed in an effort to become vice president at the age of 47, lost another senatorial race after that, and then became president at the age of 52. You know what Abraham Lincoln said? He said, we are as happy as we make up our minds to be. Think about that in the midst of a life full of incredible challenges. Attitude's more important than aptitude, I believe, in determining our success. I don't know if you've ever heard the old saying, a calm sea never produced a good sailor. Challenges are good for us, folks. They grow us up in Christ. What are we learning through all this? Can you look back and go, man, it has been a year of incredible learning and growth for me. God sensitized my heart. He's helping me to walk closer to him. There's a poster, and I love what it says. It says, in this life, we all have mountains to climb. We can sing as we climb or complain about our sore feet. Whichever we choose, we still have to hike. So I decided to sing. You're going to have to hike. You might as well decide to sing along the way and give praise to God. Amen? Let me just finish with a few things, and I'm going to go through them pretty quickly here. Four attitude killers: wrong expectations, comparing ourselves with others, entitlement, and negativity. Four things that'll build your attitude: gratitude. Gratitude. I love the saying, when the gratitude begins, the struggle ends. You start thanking God for all the good things he's done for you. Believe me, it'll change your perspective from the challenges that you're having to deal with. Number three, humility. Humility. And then number four, respect. Let me end with this, and I'm just going to read them to you because I think they capsulize everything we're talking about today. Four reasons I should choose a good attitude. Number one, a good attitude is Christ-like. And it's a good witness to others of my faith in God and the difference he's made in my life. I don't live selfishly. I don't live just for my rights. In fact, in Christ, the way I understand it, Jesus says this, the word says this, I've been bought with a price. I'm no longer my own. I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. You know how many rights I have? And this is where we get confused, right? Between being a kingdom citizen and an American. Because we Americans, we're always talking about our rights. And hey, you're violating my right. And boy, we get grumpy and mad and pushy and angry and everything else. But if we understood it, here's how many rights I have. Zero. I'm crucified with Christ. My life is not to be about me, it's to be about him and bringing glory and honor to him. How many of you hear what I'm saying? God knows me. He loves me. He has a good plan for my life. God will take my mistakes and the bad things that have happened to me, and he'll turn them around for my good. And he's bigger than my giants and my mountains, and nothing's impossible for him. Amen. Can you say amen to that? Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me for a moment? Lord, we just cry out to you. These are challenging days. They really are. And the path ahead still seems pretty fuzzy in a lot of ways. There's just an awful lot of different opinions and perspectives and controversies. But Lord, remind us today that our kingdom is not of this world. That we've been called to something higher. We are filled with and living with the very presence of God in us. And everything we do, everything we say, every action should point to that love that has transformed us from the inside out. Lord, help us to be your people, loving others, thinking of others above ourselves. God, help us. We need your help. We need your Spirit's work in us. Lord, I know I've messed up lots of times. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for second chances. Thank you that you are moving and working in each and every one of our lives. God, help us to be unified by your Spirit in such a beautiful way that even the world notices the love we have for one another. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Would you stand with me today? Thank you for being here. Can you give the Lord praise this morning? Was that a good word, you guys? Amen. Amen. So Lord, go with us and let your face shine upon us and your light shine through us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week. God bless you guys.